Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
SoCal's Country Station, 95.1 KFrog. I'm Pepper. This is Spirit of the IE. Approximately 28% of hip replacement surgeries are performed on people under 55. This indicates that a significant portion of hip replacements are now being performed on younger individuals, with the average age of patients having a hip replacement decreasing over the past few decades. Here to tell us more is orthopedic surgeon Dr. Thomas Donaldson from the Department of Orthopedics Loma Linda Faculty Medical Group and a former patient of his. John, thank you for joining me.
Real privilege to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Donaldson, you've had an amazing career in orthopedics. Can you tell us a bit about your journey and what drew you specifically to hip and knee replacements?
So I think it became obvious early on in medical school that I liked anatomy, and it was obvious that orthopedics was for me. Don't really understand how and why, but that was it. And I felt like if I couldn't go into orthopedics, I was going to go back and work on cars like I did when I was in high school. But run forward, in my residency program, one of my mentors told me on a Friday night, he said, if you stay late, I know you're not on call, I'll let you do the hip replacement with me. And I magically held the knife. I always said he moved the table and let me do the hip replacement. And I felt so great. I was in love with that. And, you know, the whole idea of joint replacement was embedded in me at that point. And then I was very, very fortunate to be able to do 1 year postgrad education at University of Pittsburgh, where I just focused on hip and knee replacements and perfected that skill. So this was 1991, and then I came back to the Inland Empire. You know, when you marry a Redlands girl, you stay in Redlands. So my practice has been in the Inland Empire for the last 30 years, and it's been a wonderful time. It's really been fun to have patients follow me all those years. I still have people come in, and they go, hey, you remember you operated on me, or I operated on their mother, and I was telling John earlier that I have patients that come in now, and they're the kids of my patients. So, you know, I guess one of these days I'm going to have to lay it down, but it's been a wonderful career.
A growing number of younger adults, people in their 30s, 40s, and early 50s, are seeking joint replacement surgery. What do you think is driving this trend?
There's no question the first 20 years of my practice, the device didn't sustain longevity. So hip replacements would, for example, wear out in a young person as early as 8 years. And then you'd have to revise them again and put another liner, plastic liner, or debride them. And people that had hip replacements of the original design would wear, they might have 4 or 5 hip operations. And then at one point, they wouldn't be able to have a hip replacement and they'd be in a wheelchair. So that was sort of the 80s and early 90s. And so in 2000, a new generation of plastic that had longevity came out. So that combined with surgical approach, which was much more beneficial to the patient, described as the anterior approach. People see patients come back. They see people come into church 5 days after they've had a hip replacement and they go, wait a minute, you just had a hip replacement and you're walking into church, or I see you in the grocery store. You mean this isn't something that's going to lay you up? We used to keep people in the hospital for several weeks after a hip replacement. Now people go home the same day. So that word of mouth transfer, people are starting to understand they don't have to wait until they're 80 years old before they have a hip replacement. So I think younger people now are venturing into having hip replacement surgery simply because there's a perceived trust that the product that we have today has longevity. And we believe by the science that we have that the plastic hips that we're putting in today have a minimum 40-year track record.
How have advancements in medical technology changed the way joint replacement surgeries for younger patients versus older ones?
Well, if a young person comes in and they really have an arthritic hip, I used to say, you know, limp as long as you can. Don't have a hip replacement right now because, you know, I don't want to have to revise you 8 years later. And wait as long as you possibly can. And sometimes I even took people out of work where they went on disability because they couldn't do their job because of their hip, in the sense that we had a fear that, well, that we knew that the hip wouldn't last. And so that was in the, you know, late 80s and 90s. We didn't have the confidence to tell people, by all means, have a hip replacement. I mean, it's the right thing to do. Whereas today, the products that we use today, the ceramic on highly cross-linked polyethylene, that's the magic bearing. And that bearing is a 40-plus year articulation that predictably won't wear out. So I think it's not hard to look at somebody younger that might be on the edge and you say, you know, you don't have to limp around or, you know, limit your lifestyle. If I could step back, though, I try to emphasize to patients, look, maybe there's certain activities you want to back off on. And, you know, so if you don't need to run 20 miles a week, maybe we can do some other activities like swimming or cycling where your hip doesn't bother you. Maybe we can eke out a few more years before you have a hip replacement. So, you know, maybe an anti-inflammatory can calm the hip down enough that you don't need hip replacement, you know, right now. And so, look, I mean, as good as hip replacements are today, I still spend a lot of time in my office trying to tell people, you know, I don't know that you're quite ready for hip surgery yet. Because remember, you have to be asleep for the surgery and it's real surgery. And there are a list of potential problems that can ensue with that. So it's not something that is lightly chosen. So I have a huge respect. I always say that going to surgery is a very sacred event for that person, for the surgeon as well. And if you don't have that respect or feel like it's that level, you know, that it's a real sacred event, it's not a casual thing to decide. So yeah, I mean, I totally respect somebody who says, hey, I'd like to limp on. I love to tell people, hey, you can come and see me 4 or 5 times. One of these days you're going to walk in here and say, I'm not leaving until you fix me. And then I'll do it. So having that conversation and engagement and learning, and when you come in, you get to look at the models. I think John, when he saw the models, freaked out, right? You're going to put that in my hip.
Yes.
And you're going to do what again? And so when you see it and you kind of feel it, because you can hold the models and you realize, wow, I'm not maybe mentally not ready to go through that. But it's an educational process for the patient to understand, if I'm going to have my hip get better, I'm going to have to go through this. And are you sure there isn't something else you could do? And unfortunately, I wish stem cell injections worked. They don't work for hip arthritis. Maybe certain early aspects, possibly. But there's a lot of stem cell injections that are being given, and people walk in my office 2 months later with, now what? That didn't work.
If you have a patient who you can look at and you can tell that at some point in the future they're going to need a replacement, is there a benefit to doing that surgery when they are younger as opposed to when they're older? I mean, I assume that the risks for surgery for a 50-year-old are less than that for those of an 80-year-old.
I always try to reference that surgery is like paying your taxes. You want to delay as long as you possibly can. I mean, that's just human nature instinct. My partner and I used to always say we would limp heavily. And people come in their 70s and they say, I want to have this done before I'm in my 80s. And I go, yeah, but your knee doesn't hurt right now. So why would you have, if there were no risks involved, maybe, right? But there are risks involved, surgery, infection, bleeding, nerve injury, things like that, that you'd just desperately wouldn't want to take those risks unless I can't hardly walk. We used to have the rule, if I'm a household ambulator, and that meant I can't leave the house, okay, that person can have surgery. Now I always say, if I can't walk through Costco and I can't go to Disneyland, that's my Southern California challenge. So yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many people tell me that their families went to Disneyland and they couldn't. Well, joint replacement's way better than that. And I think now let's start talking a little bit more seriously about that your timing is getting close.
I'm speaking with Dr. Thomas Donaldson from the Department of Orthopedics Loma Linda Faculty Medical Group and a former patient of his, John. For younger adults, what lifestyle or health factors might contribute to early deterioration of the hip joint leading to the need for surgery?
So there's several different pathologic things that can happen in a hip joint. Young people in their 20s that have been drinking heavily can have something referred to as avascular necrosis, where the blood supply to the femoral head actually is interrupted and then the femoral head actually flattens. And it's not only alcohol related, but it's commonly, and that's unfortunately endemic in the Asian countries, and we see it here commonly as well. It's not just two beers, it's more binge drinking and things like that. But that's one of the perspectives. Hip dysplasia, that's where, from when I was a baby, my hip socket didn't form as broadly or on covering the ball completely inadequately. And so the pressure zone of the femoral head on the cartilage was more focused on a small area, and that cartilage didn't sustain. And those are the patients that come in at in their 40s and 50s at a much earlier age. Not the typical, I have the arthritis gene and my hip has gotten arthritic in my 70s. So those are two distinct areas. And I think the younger patient hips that we typically do, or traumatic events. So I fell off my bike, I injured it really impacted the cartilage on my hip. I didn't realize it, but I obviously injured it. Or a fracture, that could have occurred as well. So all of those are lots of the driving force as to why a young person might have a hip replacement today.
What are some of the early warning signs that someone, regardless of age, shouldn't ignore when it comes to their hip health?
I think that the first perspective, I think we all get up and have a creak in our step once in a while, but when it just doesn't go away and you think, okay, if I just get back on the treadmill and I work through this, it's going to get better. And when it doesn't, investigate what might be going on. And, interestingly enough, the hip is right underneath where all the nerves from the lumbar spine go. So a lot of hip pain when people come in to see me is not hip arthritis. It's actually a low back problem and like sciatica or something like that. And so then we have to direct their treatment more towards a back care and not a hip replacement type idea. But I think you can have a hip problem that can be calmed down. Now we have hip arthroscopy where we actually can fix the cartilage in a younger person's hip, where we just do that through two little poke holes in the skin and look into the hip joint that doesn't engage a hip replacement. And possibly the early treatment like that could prevent somebody from having a hip replacement. One of our doctors at Loma Linda, Scott Nelson, likes to, if a hip has dysplasia, where it's a very shallow socket, he will actually cut the pelvic bone and reorient it so it's directed on top of the ball joint. So then that person hopefully would be preventing a later in life hip replacement. So those are some of the early things that we can do that doesn't involve joint replacement.
How does a patient know it's time to seriously consider a hip replacement versus continuing on with physical therapy or other non-surgical treatments?
I think physical therapists and chiropractors are one of my biggest referrals. People go there and their family doctor referred them over to therapy, and because that's what you do with young people. And they go, man, your hip's not moving at all. It's locked up. And I mean, what I mean by that is there's no roll inside or out. There's no Scottish jig. You're not jumping, selling Toyotas, as they say, all of that. My hip's locked up and, I'm limping pretty heavily. And the physical therapist or the chiropractor will say, hey, we can get your hip moving again. But guess what? They can't. And so that's when they acknowledge, hey, there's something a little bit more going on here. This can't be normal. So that's when we pick up big bone spurs, and how a person got to that point that early is always a bit of an enigma to me, especially, you know, I mean, I'm young. I don't have arthritis because of old age. Obviously, somewhere along the way in their active lifestyle, they had a cartilage injury and their hip became arthritic.
You sound like you were pretty conservative about making the decision to do surgery on a patient. But what are the risks of delaying hip replacement surgery once a patient has been diagnosed with severe joint degeneration?
Well, one of the things that makes it very difficult for us is when bone rubs on bone, it starts forming cysts within the bone. And those cysts kind of coalesce and get bigger, and then they literally actually fracture. And so then a person's leg starts to get shorter. And so I have people come in an inch short, and it's almost impossible to gain that leg length back when it's that short. And so, you know, I see a lot of people, they come in and it's shocking. They have bone on bone arthritis. Oh, I'm still golfing. I'm still carrying on. And I said, okay, we'll come in every 6 months for a little while. Let's get another x-ray, make sure that the hip's not falling apart, and we'll keep an eye on this. And, you know, as long as I don't see the hip migrating superiorly or medially too badly, then I'm sitting on you as long as you want to wait. So that's fine. I commonly will tell people, look, I think you're waiting too long. It may not be pain only, but the deformity on your x-ray for me to reconstruct is going to be way more challenging, and your recovery process is going to be much harder. So I would advocate, you know, you better start thinking in the next 6 months that we better fix your hip.
For younger adults who may be concerned about long-term durability, how long can today's modern hip replacements last, and what advancements have been made to extend their lifespan?
So a very interesting thing happened in 1999 and 2000. There had been a particular plastic failure by one of the big orthopedic companies that was in the mid-90s. Because of that failure, there was a lot of research into how can we make a plastic that's better. That, ironically, was the beginning of the metal hip, which has turned out to be many people have a good metal hip, but there's many people that had to have that hip revised. So the era of metal on metal hip is sort of past, and we've gone through that. But that existed because plastic didn't supply us with longevity. But the highly cross-linked polyethylene that started in 1999 and 2000 was like miraculous. So to put it in a perspective, a conventional polyethylene of the 70s, 80s, and 90s would wear about a millimeter every 4 years. At 2 millimeters, you needed a revision. Today, the hip wear on the plastic is somewhere around 0.05, which is 20 years for 1 millimeter and 40 years for 2 millimeters. So that perspective, and we have now only a 25-year experience, right? So it was 99 and 2000 where two big companies came out with this. And then we're already on another generation of improvement that so far we're 25 years into this experiment, and everything that was predicted is happening. So we think that there's very little doubt we're going to have lots of people that go 40 years. And all of our data shows that when 90% of our patients can go 40 years, that means lots of people are going to go 50 and maybe, you know. So I like to talk about my 60-year-olds getting a lifetime hip, right? Now, I wish we all lived to be 120, but we'll see.
Walk us through what the recovery process looks like for someone who undergoes hip replacement surgery and how recovery might differ for younger versus older patients.
A young person that has a joint replacement, one of the things I have to kind of do is slow them down. It's not hard to slow an 80-year-old down, but a young person, hey, I've got a new hip. I'm going to go charge the gym. And, you know, if 10 minutes is good, I'm going to do 2 hours. So then they come in the office and they say, why is my hip still hurting? And I say, man, you know, when did you go do 2 hours of working out in the gym before? And so I'll give you what I call the story. I always tell people, look, for a week or two, you're not going to like me very much because it's sore. And surgery comes with some surgical pain. We're pretty excited because we use a medication that actually slowly leaches out numbing medicine for 3 days. So for the first couple, 3 days, it's not too uncomfortable. I'll ask John what his perspective is on that. But then that third day, it's a little bit of an awakening that, hey, indeed, I just had hip surgery. But then patients tell me on a regular basis that every day they feel strides where they're improving each day. And stiffness and tightness is a common thing for that first month. If you sit for an hour and you stand up and, you know, four or five steps of a little bit stiff hip and then it gets going again, I call that a person's rheumatism. That's pretty typical. And 2 months, that's dissipating. 3 months, pretty good. And one of the scariest questions I have in my office, I love to ask patients at 6 months, did you think about your hip when you woke up this morning? Because the answer should be no. Hip replacement is so good that people have forgotten that they have had a hip replacement. And I call that the gold standard. I had a patient who 10 years out and was going through security, and he totally forgot that he had a hip replacement. And he went through security and he emptied his pockets and he went back through and he emptied his shoes out and was taking his clothes off. And he finally goes, oh my gosh, I have a hip replacement. And I mean, how good can it be if you can't remember you have had a hip replacement?
Was TSA going, why didn't you start with that?
Exactly, right? So that's really exciting for us to have a patient doing that well.
What advice would you give to someone who's experiencing chronic hip pain but is hesitant to seek help or consider surgery?
You know, family always loves to give advice, right? And family calls me all the time and asks for advice. Well, free advice is exactly that, right? So be careful. Nobody listens to free advice. But look, you know, I think that none of us like going to the doctor, let's be honest. And, you know, you have to kind of decide at some point, you know, this isn't fun. I don't like getting up every day and not being able to move. I've stopped going to the gym. We know that's, so I'm gaining weight. That's not good for my health. We know that activity keeps our heart healthy and keeps us healthy. So, you know, when you're starting to drop off on that, I think keep an open mind. And I mean, unless you just can't move your hip at all, and then people can make their own diagnosis. But I think that it could be low back pain or it could be some other thing that isn't. I mean, I have had some patients come in with hip pain and it was really a hernia. So, you know, there can be other things that engage in it, and really be willing to go, you know, look and listen. I always say when you go into a doctor's office, a surgeon's office, he doesn't have a knife, so he's not going to operate on you. And so you don't have to be afraid when you're in his office that day. Now, when you're in the operating room, that's a little different story. But advice and discussion and learning is exciting. And today with MRI, we can look in people's hips and backs better than we've ever been able to do. And we can diagnose things that we've never been able to do. And so for the field of orthopedics, MRI has been transformative.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews. All on the app. Download today.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm speaking with Dr. Thomas Donaldson from the Department of Orthopedics Loma Linda Faculty Medical Group and a former patient of his, John. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit here, John. I assume that by your presence today, that indicates that you had a pretty positive experience with Dr. Donaldson. What did you like about his care?
Oh, boy, where do I begin? Sitting and listening to this, I am a perfect example of almost everything he had to say. Around 50 years old is when I decided I couldn't keep limping anymore. I had endured that for probably close to 6 years. I was in denial. I had spent so much money and time seeing physical therapists, acupressurists, chiropractors, other doctors. I've interviewed several orthopedists, and I didn't find anyone that could alleviate my pain or fix the issue. However, when I met Dr. Donaldson, it was actually my wife had done the research. She had grown frustrated, and I don't blame her. I was a very active individual. She's very active. But with this ailment, I went to very inactive, to the point where I wasn't even leaving my house much anymore. I wouldn't go to the grocery store. It was too far to walk. I've avoided the gym. I was down about one day a week, if I was lucky. I was sleeping a lot. I felt like maybe I was in a depression. And I felt like it was taking a slice out of her life. It wasn't fair to her for me to be so disabled at this age. And so she found Dr. Donaldson. I went on the appointment. And almost instantly when I met him, I felt like he was the guy I wanted to work with. And quite honestly, he was the first and only doctor, believe it or not, of all the orthopedists I've seen who actually laid me down on the table and did some mobility tests with my leg and truly wanted to see what was wrong with it. I had come prepared. I had actually had x-rays with me, although we did extra x-rays, and I had done an MRI all on my own. Because I was fighting it as much as I could. I did not want to do this. I felt like I was too young and I didn't want to get my body chopped up. And I was terrified, honestly, of the surgery. But Dr. Donaldson helped me feel really comfortable, talked me through the process, and made me realize, you know, I was really at the end stage of this. It was either get this done or I was going to be in a wheelchair. And I knew that because I had just went on vacation, took my wife on vacation, couldn't walk 20 steps before I had to sit down. And that's no vacation for anybody. So I was already leaning towards doing it. And then at the end of the appointment, I don't know if you remember, you actually prayed for me. And that's what ultimately made my decision. And I said, yeah, let's schedule it. So before I left his office, I scheduled my date, which was approximately 3 months from that. And it's the longest 3 months that I ever spent waiting. And kind of oddly enough, I was waiting for this date and still in the back of my mind thought I might cancel. I was that scared of it. But that's what ultimately drove me to him. And if I can add this, I know we talked about this earlier. It was also sitting in his lobby and hearing some of the stories from some of his other patients, some of which were come from other surgeons who did not do such a good job. So not only was he the highly recommended hip replacement surgeon in the market, but he was also the fixer, if you will, amongst a lot of people that had bad experiences with the same surgery.
So John, if I can give you a little perspective. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of patients that are like you. You came in kind of almost testing me with, okay, yeah, it's obvious I have a bad hip. I know I have a bad hip, but I don't want surgery. And how I manage that is I go, you know, John, you have a bad hip. So when you're ready to have it fixed, will you let me know? And it's almost like, I think him not feeling pressure from me, like it's my decision. It's not my decision, it's his decision. And I have to allow him to have that space and to grapple with it, right? And I remember also you told me that you hadn't been shown models.
Correct.
And really in detail tried to explain the procedure and what we were going to have to do and how it was going to be, you know, fixing him. Of course, sometimes that freaks a person out, right? And it did, John. But truth and honesty and transparency is what we have to have. And I've always felt that takes people's anxiety away. So yeah, I purposely love to go through a look, I know you need a hip replacement. Your hip was one of the worst that I see. Mm-hmm. And yet you didn't know that, you know, because it's the only hip you have that, you know, your other hip is good. But, you know, I think that's the perspective where a young person, it has to be their decision that I'm going to do this. The orthopedists of old used to say, don't eat breakfast. I'm fixing your hip tomorrow. You don't have a choice. That's the way it used to be. In medicine today, it's sort of like, hey, we want the patient to decide when it's right for them. So it's a very interesting difference where the old school medical system and where I'm the doctor, I'm God, and I'm going to tell you when you're going to have your hip replaced. And no, you can't ask any questions. There's no bad questions. We encourage that. We want people to come 4 or 5 times if they need to, feel ultimately comfortable with what we're going to do because it's a big decision.
You know, it's funny you say that because I believe I schedule my appointment with you sometime in December. And the first time I met you was in March. So that 3 months was the longest 3 months to get in there, besides the months I waited for the surgery. And so I get in there, and sure enough, you said, hey, you know, you don't have to do this. You can come back several times before you decide. And then the thought of having to wait longer as I got worse, progressively worse, at a much faster pace, I'll be honest with you, I said, no, I got to get this scheduled. If I'm going to cancel it, I'll cancel it later. But I'm scheduling this today. I don't want to wait one more minute. And I believe from that point, it was about 60 days or so out. So I had 2 months to do all the pre-op stuff you got to get ready and get the insurance prepared and all that good stuff, get your work prepared. And that was a very, very long, long time. I spent it limping and hurting and knowing I needed this, but knowing I didn't want to do it at the same time. It was almost torture. But again, it was motivation to get better for not just me, but for my whole family.
You know, it's interesting when you have a younger patient, you know, you're assuming their heart and lungs are good. And so there's not a lot of extra effort having a cardiologist see them or pulmonologist see them or whatever other medical conditions they might have. And so my older patients have to go through the string of make sure your doctors check you out, make sure everything's okay before I can put you to sleep to have the big surgery. Where our younger patients are healthier, so it's a little easier to slip them in sooner than some of my older patients that, I mean, medicine's really tough. I mean, we've tried to call and get a doctor's appointment. It's pretty challenging. So, I mean, getting into a cardiologist, getting into your family doctor, in fact, sometimes is pretty challenging. But we recommend that, and we like to have our patients touch base with their physicians to make sure that we've got them optimized for the surgery.
How are you doing now, John?
Fantastic. I couldn't have wished for better, honestly. My journey was a little bit different than the recovery the doctor explained. It's true. I think the surgery lasted under 2 hours, and then immediately when I woke up, they made me stand up and walk right on it, which I thought was unreal. But then I thought, well, they got some fantastic pain drugs in me, and it's working. So I went home, and I was waiting for that third day you mentioned to hit. I was a little bit nervous of that. I hadn't yet taken any of the pain meds. I was, aside from ibuprofen. And so I was waiting for that day, and it never really came. Honestly, the worst pain that I dealt with was down the stretch of my leg where I believe the tourniquets were. The bruising that happened down the leg that wasn't even near my hip was probably the hardest for me to recover. It wasn't the surgical scar. It wasn't the feeling of the joint. That felt magical from day one. Feels even better now. I mean, I'm in the gym 3 days a week solid. I can walk my dog around the block. I've done so many more projects over just 1 year. I've kind of lost track. I'm doing the Yucaipa 5K I signed up for kind of as a memorial or a, is that how you say it? Kind of memorialize the date.
Celebration.
Celebrate.
Yeah.
Celebrate the date. And I don't know. I'm happy. I'm not happy that I had to have surgery, but I'm happy where I'm at now. And I'm so excited that I don't even feel it. Honestly, I wake up, I wouldn't have known I had this.
So just as a corrective note, we use a tourniquet sometimes when we do knee replacements, but we can't use a tourniquet on a hip. So all that bruising that you had was really from the hip surgery, and bruising and some of the bleeding around the hip joint drifts down the leg. And so that was from that. Yeah, I always describe, you know, people's thigh sometimes is almost twice the size of the other one for the first 4 or 5 days, and then it tends to dissipate pretty quickly. And then, yeah, your toes can turn black and blue as the blood, you know, with gravity ends up going down to the bottom of your foot. And then our bodies are magical, and they resorb all that, and it goes away.
Well, I never did have to take the pain medicine, the strong stuff that was prescribed. That was kind of a goal and a mission of mine. It was actually your anesthesiologist who recommended that I kind of toggle back and forth between Tylenol and ibuprofen, and so I did that, and that seemed to work out fine. The only issue I had, I believe, was, and you give a medication for this, it was like a tingling nerve sensation down the leg.
Yeah, the gabapentin.
Gabapentin. Yeah. abandoned, yeah. And that came in really handy because I tell you what, that is almost like your leg falling asleep, but it just, it never wakes up. It's just a constant tickling, tingling down your leg, and it gets pretty painful as well. But that was about it.
Yeah, we're pretty proactive on what we call multimodal pain management. So Tylenol, ibuprofen, gabapentin, mm-hmm. those aren't narcotics. So people aren't really strung out. But the more painful a hip is before surgery, that pain's gone when we're done. And so a person wakes up and says, well, what I have right now from surgery is hardly worse than what I had before surgery. So that's the interesting perspective, right? And right. so, yeah, guys like you, not shockingly, hardly take a pain pill. I think you're blessed. When I broke my leg, I think I took 2 pain pills and I didn't like it and I just never took it. And I feel grateful because I might have been the guy that really liked it, right? So we have a lot of respect for pain pills and we're very proactive in, look, on one hand, I'll provide patients with pain pills for the surgery and we kind of give you, it's sort of a systemic pharmacy requirement now. We only give you a week's worth at a time, which is kind of goofy. But nevertheless, it's really good. And I think people have developed a lot more respect for those pills. And every once in a while, I have somebody who came to me on a lot of pills. And then after the surgery, we send them up to one of my colleagues who's really good about getting them off. So I don't just keep giving people pain pills. I make sure they wean off and get off of that stuff because God never meant us to be on that stuff.
What are the qualities of a good orthopedic surgeon?
Well, that's a dangerous question because orthopedists have a lot of folklore comments, right? Strong as an ox, but as bright as one too, right? So that's sort of the reputation orthopedists have in the hospital because we work hard. We do a lot of the bone breaking, if you will, yeah. and we're not in what they call the cognitive group, the thinkers, right? On the other hand, actually to get into orthopedics, you have to be pretty high end in the top end of your class. So it's not ignorant people that get into orthopedics, to be honest with you. But a good orthopedist, it's not really, I would say specifically orthopedics, just being what's a good doctor. And a good doctor is a guy who loves patients, loves people, loves taking care of people, loves the responsibility of taking care of people, listens to people, engages in their life. I can't tell you, I like it, but my patients come in and they've came in with their husband for the last 10 years and today the husband's not there. And so I shed tears with my patient as we mourn their husband not being there or their child. Or, you know, we all went through COVID. And I'll tell you, there was a dark time where people came in, everybody lost somebody. And that was a really hard time. And so this has nothing to do with a hip and a knee or what we've been talking about, but it's simply caring about people. And that's what I've enjoyed the most about my practice is embracing people. I love having their lives put back together and seeing their success and activity and what they're able to do. And 2 of my old patients, they were back in the day when you were in the hospital for a few days together. And these 2 widowed ladies became fast friends and then went on cruises together. And, you know, and I got to enjoy that friendship somehow that I was the alchemy, right? It happened that randomly they got operated on the same week. But I think that to me is essence of being a doctor, embracing. And I'm old school. My dad was old school. He didn't like fast appointments. He liked to engage with the patient. And look, I mean, today we're being told you get 10 minutes and one topic and don't get engaged with people and you can't humanize, right? Well, wait a minute. Medicine's human. And so I think a lot of the success that I've had as an orthopedist, look, I'm really well trained. I'm really good at what I do. But people love the embrace when they come in the office and they know that, hey, they mean something to me. And look, I mean, it's humbling. We're pushed harder and harder today. There's, you know, lots of doctors have left the state. And so it's a stand in line environment, right? So it's really hard. How do you sit down with people for a few minutes and yet let them know that you care about them? One of my favorite things to do is, and one of the reasons I went back to Loma Linda to teach in the twilight of my career is to show young doctors that it's okay to be human with your patients. And you can embrace them and you can be close to them and don't be afraid of that. And I love to ask people, like, what were you famous for? And it's shocking the number of stories that you hear. And I ran this big corporation and it was this shabby person that's sitting in front of you because they're now 80 years old and hardly can take care of themselves. You would never know what their prior career was, right? And all of a sudden, that person means a lot more to me. And so I think people always say, well, what does a patient get out of going to the doctor? Well, doctors get out of their patients too, right? And so when I get done and I run long clinics, it's a satisfying day. And we see the people that we helped and we see the people that still need help. And that's a true embrace. But that's a long-winded answer. But I think a good orthopedist is a guy who cares about his patients, takes care of them, is available to them and is engaging with them.
Could I add just a little to that? Because that's exactly why I chose Dr. Donaldson as my doctor. As I mentioned, he took the time. He did the mobility tests. He explained every aspect to me. He showed me the prosthetic. He walked me through the process. We talked about recovery time. We talked about potential issues that could arise from it. But at the end of the day, I had never felt more comfortable with a surgeon. And I've had more than one surgery in my life. I've never felt that comfortable with a surgeon. So my reluctance was never about the doctor. It was just having the procedure at all. And I hope I'm not putting you out here, but one of the more amazing stories that I tell everyone, which I've recommended several people to you in this last year, is I'm sitting on the recovery bed and he offers me his cell phone number to get in touch with him if I have any questions or any issues, which I've never had a doctor give me their cell phone number. No doctor wants to be contacted after that, it seems like. And I did end up contacting you a couple times and you were gracious enough to get back to me. I try not to abuse it, but that to me was really special. It really was. Made him stand out.
Well, one of the challenges we have at a big complex university practice is try calling and getting through to somebody.
Right.
And more importantly, somebody that knows you, it's impossible. And so unfortunately, there's shortcut avenue is like, yeah, it's my cell phone. So, I mean, that's where it's shocking. As many people as I've handed my phone out to, not that many messages, you know, it's shocking. With my chart now in the Loma Linda system, we handle those messages well and highly recommend it. My PA, Sean, handles that very avidly every day. And so we're pretty good about getting right back to people. But yeah, if we can stem off a problem early, we like doing that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Oh, hey, friends. This sale's for you. The DSW Friends and Family event is on. DSW VIP members get 25% off almost everything in stores and online for a limited time. Don't miss out. This only happens twice a year. Not a VIP? You're still family to us. Join for free to get in on the savings. Plus, VIPs always get free shipping on anything. Save on must-own shoes today when you shop the DSW Friends and Family event at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've been speaking with Dr. Thomas Donaldson from the Department of Orthopedics Loma Linda Faculty Medical Group and a former patient of his, John. Dr. Donaldson, if someone wanted to consult with you, how could they go about doing that?
Well, John was pretty...
Are you going to give your cell phone number out over the air?
Yes. I think they're going to edit that one out. Yeah. I think John was pretty gracious in not describing that he probably sat in my lobby for a while. People wait to see me. And one of the common statements I hear them tell other patients is, when he's in the room with you, you get your time. And so that's sort of been my mantra. I don't like anybody have to wait for anybody. I always tell people, when they're really pissed off at me, I go, hey, I wouldn't have waited, you know, as long as I could walk, you know. But it's kind of like we always joke about, why do people wait at the urology office? Well, so they can't go. So, yeah. So, yes, the Access Center at Loma Linda receives calls, and obviously some insurances, whatever insurances Loma Linda, you know, accepts, and some people have to get referrals, but nevertheless, open access. I have two other colleagues that do joint replacement as well, so they're well-trained, they're fellowship-trained in joint replacement just like I am. They don't have my gray hair yet, which is good, and that's part of my other motive of being back in the teaching setting, where these young surgeons, they need to learn, because one day they're going to replace my hip and I'll be coming up one of these days. Donaldson's, if you live past 70, you end up with a hip. And I'm close.
Anything else you want us to know?
Well, this is an exciting era. I've never been more excited. The anterior hip was transformative. I switched to that in 2008. We do posterior approach. We do lateral approach too. But the anterior approach has been so transformative. We don't take muscle off the hip joint. The people's recovery from that is so dramatically improved. And like John's experience, a lot less painful. It's been so dramatic, and I have never had a billboard up, but my patients are my billboard, and they truly advertise. And their neighbor had, you know, some other surgery, and they're still limping along with their walker. And, you know, and they say, I feel guilty because I'm doing so well. And, you know, I think that's been a transformative, exciting time for me as a surgeon, because our craft, how we do the surgery now, has improved dramatically. A product that's incredible, and we have to really thank the industry, and they don't get enough credit for developing really, really great product that has longevity. So that, you know, I don't know where we're going to go next, but I hope there's continued improvement. And as John and I were talking earlier, I still am dreaming of that hip injection that takes care of the arthritis and gives a person a new hip again. We can dream.
Thank you so much for talking with us today. Thank you for being on the front lines, and thank you for helping us keep walking.
It's a great honor.
And from the bottom of my heart, thank you. You've just changed my life. You got me back to where I should have been, and I couldn't be more grateful.
Yeah, and I'll make one last comment. I think to be able to walk pain-free is an amazing thing. And, you know, you don't think about it. I woke up this way. I got up, and my hips didn't hurt. But to be able to walk pain-free and be able to be active, for me to get on the treadmill, is how I have my vigor and my energy, and I'm staying young, because I can be active. And I think as we get older, I always remind my patients, activity is the fountain of youth. So get your Fitbit out, get your Apple Watch or whatever, count your steps, and make sure every day you do more. And so I'm deeply challenging to my patients. I call it the Donaldson 2-mile-a-day walking club. Some of my patients walk 5 miles a day, and this is after the surgery. There's a lot of data to show that you're going to live longer if you can walk and stay active and stay healthy.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
No!